God is here so much tonight to create such an amazing atmosphere of His presence. Hallelujah. A Merry Christmas to you all. I know this is a wonderful, one of the most joyous seasons in all our lives. And just again, I'm very humbled and grateful that you are able to be on the line in the midst of all that is going on. That says a lot about the hunger and the dedication you have towards the Lord. Father, we are again before you and your presence. Thank you so much for this desire for more of you you put in our hearts. Thank you so much for the hunger for righteousness. You are the only one that can fill us, enlighten us, empower us. And Father, continue to give us more grace to manifest, oh God, your light and your glory to our generation. Thank you so much for everyone on this line. Thank you for their faithfulness, their dedication to you. Have your way tonight, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. As I was just praying about the season, and it's time, and we've been looking into just refreshing our minds and reminding us of why God has called us to rule, to reign with Him, why we are here. I was looking at the various ways God has been sharing with us and how we are to continue, but we are in this very special season, and I was just wondering how that relates, how that can relate in many ways to the subject we are looking at, ruling and reigning in Christ. So I just feel led to share with you about this Christmas season in relationship to another revelation of Jesus. A revelation of Jesus to us in this season, and a revelation of Jesus in a place of spiritual authority, in a place of rulership, and how that applies to us. So, all over the world, Christmas is probably the most popular celebration in the whole world, and is highly celebrated. But from what I've been learning a few years ago is whenever we are celebrating something that is a memorial, I always reflect on what does that mean to me. There's somebody on the background. We're hearing your voice. We are children, so please just help us. Thank you. Yeah. So there's something I'm learning about memorials, whether it's during the restoration time, whether it's a Passover, whether it's a Christmas season, you know, whatever the season is, I always say, okay, what am I learning from this? What happened then, and how does it relate to me now? Do I just let this memorial, this season pass, and it just become another celebration, or is there something I'm to do an inventory? Is there something I'm need to learn? Is there something that this season needs to remind me of in the area of maybe more effective in taking advantage of what God has done or given to me as His child? So that's why I feel to share this aspect of the manifestation of Christ to us. So let me read some scriptures. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures today in this understanding. I want to start from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. I'll read from verse 2. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. on those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time, and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their burdensome yoke and the rod, and thy rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor. Just as you did on the day of Midian, for the trampling of the boot of battles and the blood, the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. Now the popular verses we know continues here. It says, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is the popular scripture, but here it began by saying the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It's a prophetic word that Isaiah received about the manifestation of the Messiah, about the manifestation of the Savior. He said the people living in the land of darkness, a light will be dawn. And it talks about the shattering of the enemies and then placing the government upon his shoulder. And when this government is upon his shoulder, he says it will never stop from that moment. So, like we've been studying, we knew that God made man in his own image in the garden. And, of course, there was a corruption of that after the mantle was placed up upon Adam to have dominion over the nations, over what God has created. But after the fall, God now sent a second Adam. But this time, through the voice of Isaiah, the prophetic voice of Isaiah, he says, this Messiah, the Savior is coming. And when he comes, it's going to be like, it's going to be a light in darkness. It's going to dethrone the forces, the powers of darkness. It's going to shatter it. It's going to lift up the burden that is upon man. And then he's going to establish his kingdom. And the government of his kingdom and his dominion will be forever to be upon his shoulders. But then he used the word, he will come like a child unto us. Unto us a child is born. And in Luke, he talks about Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel. So God with us. So let's understand, first of all, Jesus came to dethrone and to destroy the works of darkness. And then he came to be a light, because darkness has entered the world. That's why there's a lot of light in this season. So the way light rules over darkness is the picture we need to get as we go on. And he says the government of his kingdom will never cease from the moment he makes his entrance into the world. So that means from the moment, from that cross, after Jesus dethroned darkness, spoiled principalities and powers, and rose from the dead, he has taken over the government. It says all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So dominion belongs to him. Authority, government now belongs to him. And he says it shall be upon his shoulders, and his kingdom will not end. Amen. So now we know, 2,000 years ago, this happened. He came as a child. He came as a light. He came and he destroyed the powers of darkness on that cross. He rose from the dead and took the keys, and all power belongs to him. And then he has delegated that power, that dominion, the government, the ecclesia, which is the apostle, he's delegated, which is the church, he's delegated that government, that rulership, that authority to the church. Now, how do we reconcile this season that we're celebrating his birth? How do we reconcile that knowing that this season was the entrance or that reminds us of who we really are right now. How do we reconcile that this season not only reminds us of what Jesus has done, but reminds us that Jesus lives inside of us now. And everything he has done, everything he is, we are inside of us. Now, so let's look at this revelation of Jesus that will help us relate not just to the Jesus that has died, is now spiritual, but how that relates to us manifesting, walking in his likeness, in his image, and then being able to exercise the authority and the dominion of the government is delegated to us. Because he says, from the moment he takes over, he rules over darkness, he says that government continues to rule. And that delegation has been given ever since he rose from the dead. So one of the ways that that the Lord as a child, you know, this season will be able to relate to him is in the revelation of his being, of his word. Amen. You can't see him physically right now, but there's a way you can see him. There's a way he can manifest to you. There's a way he can reveal himself. And one of those ways, especially in this season, is through the word of God, his word. So let's look at Jesus through the eyes of the word, W-O-R-O-D, the word of God. So I want to read another scripture that will help us begin to process this flow, and that will be in the book of John. Let me open to the book of John. I read from John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Verse 4, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. So it became light. That light shines in darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. So we go to verse 14. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. King James says, dwelt among us. We observed his glory. We behold his glory. The glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we see in the New Testament a revelation of Jesus from the eyes of John after his risen. He says Jesus is the Word of God. But he explained how that is, and I just read it. So let's look at a few more scriptures that will help us go deeper into this wonderful Christmas season. I want to read another scripture from the book of Hebrews chapter 1. It says, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, and through whom he had made the universe, he created the world. He is the radiance of his glory, or the image of his glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his powerful word, or by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became higher in rank than angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. So here again, Hebrews is telling us, the book of, that God spoke through prophets, through, you know, angels, and, you know, in the Old Testament and all. But in the New Testament, he spoke to us through his son. And John said his son is his word. So in other words, God spoke to us directly by his own word. And that word is Christ. So God spoke to us in the form of the image of his son, through his son. So in this New Testament, he says he spoke to us by his word, by his son. So now we see that his son is his word. His word is his son. So let's continue. Let's look at the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5 verse 7 says, "There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." There are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5, 7. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And then if you remember in the baptisms, you know, when the prayer says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, or prayer when Paul prays. Now, many times when Jesus is speaking in the book of John, he will say, "I and my Father are one." Many times "I and my Father are one. The words that I speak are not mine, but my Father's. I and my Father are one." There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And John says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything was created by the Word. And the Word is light. The Word is life." So we see that Word is Jesus being made flesh. Now, Psalms 119 verse 89 says, "The Word of God is forever settled in heaven." Forever settled in heaven. And then also in the Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see that word again, a light, the word and light. And the word is forever settled in heaven. Also Psalms 119:130 says, "The entrance of the word giveth light." The entrance of the word giveth light. Amen. Now, we see that the word from the prophetic word of Isaiah came to pass to the birth of Jesus when the angel came to Mary. And that word was born as a child, but it was clothed in flesh and blood. It was clothed in flesh and blood, but this is, though it was clothed in flesh and blood, the revelation of what was covered with flesh and blood says Jesus, though was born a child, was the Word manifested in the flesh. And he carried a glory. But the glory that he carried was not just something that was visible, but it was a manifestation of the light. Isaiah says, when he comes, he will be light in darkness. And we see in John 1:1, he says, that word is light, and that light shines in darkness. So covered in the flesh is the light. Covered in the flesh is the word of the Lord, which is Jesus, covered in the flesh is the word of God. So now, the word of God is not only a light in darkness. The word of God is not only the Son of God when he's manifested in the flesh. And he says, I and my Father, we are one. Means God and his word are one. Now, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, said this. Ephesians chapter 6, in talking about spiritual warfare, he says that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And we see, now if the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, we see now that in Paul writing to the Corinthians, in Corinthians 3, he says, though we war in the flesh, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we see now, he says, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So we see now, the word of God is not just only light, it's not just only the Son of God, but here is revealing Christ, or revealing the word of God as a sword of the Spirit. Is a spiritual weapon. Is the very weapon by which the Holy Spirit operates in spiritual warfare. The sword of the Spirit. Now, I want to read another scripture. This is in the book of Revelations. And then we'll start rounding up. Revelations 19. I'll read from verse 11. Revelations 19, verse 11, it says, then I saw heaven open, and there was a white horse. His rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. In righteousness he judges and he makes war. His eyes were like fiery flame, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knows except himself. He wore a robe stained with blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Now, the armies that were in heaven followed him on white horse, wearing pure white linens. Now, listen to this. From his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he might strike the nations. He will shepherd them with an iron scepter. He will also trample the winepress of the fierceness of anger of God the Almighty. Here he says his name is called the Word of God. Then he says the armies that followed him. And then prior to that, he says he judges and makes war. And then Paul was talking about spiritual warfare. And Paul was saying, of course, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's in Ephesians. But in Corinthians, he says, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So now we see here again in Revelations, it says Jesus himself coming out as Lion of the tribe of Judah, coming to eventually the final overthrow of Satan's kingdom in the earth and to establish himself when he comes back, says, he, out of his mouth proceeds a sharp sword. And then we read in Ephesians, it says the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And here it says the sword that Jesus will use to strike the nations proceeds out of his mouth. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now we see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And everything God created was by the Word. How? Genesis 1:1 says, the earth was void, and the Spirit hovered over the earth. And then God said, let us. God started speaking the word of God. Everything God speaks was created. So God spoke and it became. And in John it says everything was created by the word, manifested by the word that God spoke. So what am I saying? Before I conclude, just to summarize this, let me also bring another context of this. Why we need to reflect on this Christmas through the eyes of the Word of God. You see, when Jesus first came, before he spent 30 years totally in without nobody really knowing who he is. But then, after he was anointed, he was empowered. You know, the Spirit came upon him. He went to the wilderness to be tested, to be tried, to be tempted by the devil. When in Mark chapter 4, you know, if you read it, Luke chapter, where he was really tempted, you know, read the temptation, you will see that Jesus was tempted on three very powerful levels. And every one of those temptation, he did not speak of himself. The only thing that came out of his mouth as a weapon was the word of God. Satan will come and say, command these stones, they will become bread. He says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's from Deuteronomy. And every time he says, bow, everything that Satan tempted him, even manipulating the word, even changing, even diverting, everything that came out of Jesus was a sword. And it was the word of God. And at the last one, Satan fled. You know, the Bible says in the book of James, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist a spirit? How do you resist a spiritual spirit? Through spiritual warfare. How do you fight a spiritual warfare? We just found out the weapon that the Holy Spirit uses is the word of God. That's what Jesus used. So now, another statement about the word of God, a revelation of the word of God, is a place of authority, the place of power, the place of rulership. And where this came was through the eyes of a centurion. He heard about Jesus and his servant was sick. And then Jesus, they pleaded with him to come and really help this man. On his way, the man sent messengers to him, said, you don't need to come to my roof. I understand authority. I understand government. I understand position of authority. I'm a man because I'm a man under authority. And all I do is speak. And my servants obey. He says, all you need to do is speak the word only. Just speak. Speak the word. Speak the word only. That's authority. So, the last thing I wanted to bring here is the parable of the sower. If you study that, you see that it says it's a sowing of the word. And Jesus was talking about the word as it enters the heart of man, the life of man. If you study the parable of the sower, it says the only thing Satan is after in the whole of those trials and all the people that missed the mark in that parable, it says he's coming after the word. After the word. The word of God. My brothers and sisters, as we reflect on this Christmas season, I realize that we might not see him, you might not touch him or see him because he's spirit. But everything about Jesus is the Word of God. He said, if you see me, you see my Father. How do you see him? Through the revelation of his Word. How do you stand with God? Based on his Word. How do you preach? How do you represent him? Based on his Word. How do you fight in the Spirit? You have to stand on his Word. How do you confront needs and issues based on his Word? How do you create? How do you establish authority? His Word. From everything I share with you. Why must it be that way? Because in 1 Peter, after the fall of man, there is no other way for Jesus to duplicate himself, but to duplicate himself through the Word. So the only way that dominion was passed back to us, authority, government was delegated back to us, was through his Word. How? First Peter, you know, Peter says, we are born again by the incorruptible Word of God. We are born again by this very same Word that entered into Mary's womb and became flesh. So we are born again. That word born again, we are totally brand new. The very DNA, the very nature of God, which is his Word. Peter used the word incorruptible. Born by the Word of God. So born by the Word of God, just like Mary was born by the Word of God, is the same Jesus. Is the same Word. So if this Word does not dwell richly in us, if we don't meditate on this Word, we don't study this Word, we don't become one with this Word. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you know, you ask what you will. If we don't become this Word, don't become the mirror by which we reflect who we really are, our true identity, whenever we are under pressure, whatever is inside of us is what comes out. Is it the Word of God that comes out? Is it the Word of God that comes out when we are confronted? Or is it the Word of God that comes out when we have serious needs? Is it the Word of God that comes out when we're sick? Is it the Word of God that comes out when we have financial needs? Is it the Word of God that comes out when we are tempted? Is it the Word of God that comes out when we are tried? Is it the Word of God that comes out? Just what comes out when we are under pressure or when we are not under pressure? Is it the Word of God? Because the Bible says Jesus was the Word. And that's all he manifested. And that's why he's who he is. So if everything that the fall of Adam came with, that's what we used to be, and now we are born again, the whole reason that we can walk in the same light in over darkness, we can walk in the same authority, we can walk in the same dominion, it cannot be based on our own words. It cannot be based on our own will. It cannot be based on our own way. It has to be the Word of God. So God has been reminding me lately to stand, to trust, to lean on nothing but his Word. Proverbs chapter 3 says, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. Now, you can say trust in the Lord. Who is the Lord? So let's put it this way. Trust in the Word of God with all your heart, and lean not onto my understanding, your understanding, in all, not some, in all my ways, acknowledge him. And he, who is he? The Word of God will be a lamp, or basically say, will direct your path. Basically, Psalms again says, The word will become a light unto your, a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your. Why? Means the world is in darkness. We look at Christmas, what we see is celebration, pageantries, everything happening, there's nothing wrong. All we see in our world today is beautiful, is human, is a lot of things happening. But what we don't see is all darkness. The only way to walk in the earth today is through the word of God. Without acknowledging, without walking in the light of the word, the prophetic word of Isaiah will not benefit us. The reason Jesus came, he says, was to give light to those in darkness. The world as it is dark. Everything about the flesh is dark. Everything about this world is dark. Even though they look human, they look wealthy, they look great, they look like they have life. He says, no, they are dead. Let the dead bury the dead. The world is dark. Satan rules over every material mindset. The only way to live above the standard of the worldview, the standard of man, the deception that takes place in this life we live, is only through the word of God. If the word of God is not your guide, it's very easy to slip into darkness. The reason Jesus came, the Son of God was born, Isaiah says, was to give light to people in darkness. We're not talking about physical darkness. It's spiritual darkness. The whole world lies under darkness. So if we are not meditating on the word, if we are not chewing, we are not balancing our life, tailoring everything we do, weigh everything we do through the lenses of the word of God, it's very possible that many things we do are based on compromise, based on the culture of the world. So as we celebrate this season, I just feel the Lord wants to remind us that he came. The way he came 2,000 years ago is exactly the way he came to you when you're born again. The way I'm born again today is the same way. The same Jesus that came 2,000 years ago came into my life and is still inside of me. The same light that shines in darkness is in me. The same one that took dominion and authority and ruled and is now in us. But the only way to be able to reconcile, relate, and walk in it is by through the word of his power, to the word of God. So I want to encourage us as we celebrate this season that we should go back to the word of God. You see, as soon as anytime Satan wants to rule over the church, the first thing he does is to take the word of God from the church. And how does he take the word of God from the church? The best example is through the Catholic Church. The word of God started from the beginning. And when people start receiving the word of God, eventually some people say, we receive better revelation. We say, there's nothing wrong about writing books. There's nothing wrong about writing revelations that God gave to us. But it's different. There's a difference between what we receive from what God spoke out of his mouth that is written down. So many times through history, people begin to move towards the revelation that they've received. And then people start following it. And gradually, eventually, today, the Catholic has their own dogma. And that's the only thing they base their services on, not the Bible. But thank God for the modern day Catholics that read the Bible and are following it. Eventually, the Bible was tossed out. And then men deviated. Before we realize it, the tradition of men took over, darkness. The only way Satan rules the world is, first of all, take the Bible out of the church. And once the Bible is out of the church light is gone. Because the word of God is a light. Once it's gone, the light, because the church is the light of the world. Once the church doesn't have light, the world is back to darkness. So that's why every nation, as they begin to grow in the things of the Lord, first of all, the word of God is compromising the church. People like to read more books than they like to read the Bible. And then, once people deviate from that, look at many denominations today that started well, Name any denomination, they have their own books. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's only something wrong when the Word of God is not the primary book that you relate everything through. Now, when the Satan succeeds in causing believers to compromise in the Word, how are you seeing? Then he begins to plunder the world. America was one nation that stood up as a light all over the whole world. And the church was the light in America. So as the enemy started compromising the Bible in the church, he was able to compromise the Bible in the schools. And as soon as they took all that out, most of the known schools today, Princeton, Yale, all the great places that God was raising great men and women of God, became secular places. Today, the Bible is out of school, out of church first, out of school. And as soon as the Bible left the nation now started drifting. And today, look at the foundation of morality. Look at everybody believes darkness to be right now. Why? Because there's no light. So, as we celebrate Christmas, let us remember the primary reason he came was to be a light in darkness. And that's what we are today. And that light is not just a spirit, it's the Word, the living Word of God. So I want to challenge you all to use this Christmas season as a reflection. How much have you drifted from the Word? Have you left it completely? Are you still meditating? Are you still looking at it? Are you still, is that the basis by which you, do you acknowledge God? Do you use it as your measuring? Are you use it as your direction, as your lamp, as your guide? Even myself, that's my reflection for this season. Going back to completely weighing everything through the lenses of the Word of God. That's why he came. And this season, we share a lot of light. Because light has come. So let's go back to that burning light, which is the Word of God, as born again people. And let's remember Proverbs. Trust in the Word of the Lord with all your heart. And let's not lean to use our own creative ideas, but let's always acknowledge the Word of God as we weigh our lives. And that Word will become a direction, a guide in our paths, especially now that the world has become so dark. We are to be light again. So God bless you. Enjoy this season and let your light continue to shine as you see the physical lights everywhere. Remember, He is the Word made flesh, and we are that Word now. Father, thank you for your Word. May we be lights in our generation. In Jesus' name, amen.